Double Standards in America, Black Panther movie, and the power of imagery. Black Panther is something more than a superhero movie. It's not just standard fare. It's creating rumblings in the industry, the media, and social media.
Nobody really want Fuego, but Zion will bring fire down worse than Waco. Buy you some coffee and Lego, your Eggos, your sandwich with mayo and two slices of mayo. Sitting at home on the couch playing Halo, but the Messiah ain't playing no Eggos. Games, women and pants gonna get it. Flames, brothers keeping no commandments. Same, calling our armies a favor. Event with your NATO and soldiers with Dracos. Just tell me, how can you stop a tornado or bury the lava from the volcano? They really can't, bro. They have to pay, bro. The most I say so. So in chase they go for all their wicked atrocities they owe. For all their wicked atrocities they owe. From San Diego to Trinidad Tobago, I'm spitting these words so our Israelites they know. Keeping commandments the only way we grow, so we can defeat the nation Galileo. Nation Galileo, get it? Cause they pale. He's bringing them hell for every bill of sale. So family, just examine yourself. When that fuego come, you don't wanna get left. Forsake your sins so you complete the test. Then you can have complete rest from all your stress. Fight to do right to your very less breath, or stay wicked and receive second death. Destruction of enemies is muy bueno. Make sure that's one of the things that you pray for. Into the kingdom, the sinners, they can't go. The sinners can't go. So we say, hasta luego.
Brothers really don't want fuego.
Woo.
Sisters really don't want fuego.
Woo.
Nobody really want fuego.
Woo.
From the one that's super dead.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Nobody really want fuego.
Hey,
from the one that's super dead.
Fuego.
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 Brother, you don't want that fuego.
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 Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. I'm Captain Yahshua, along with
Captain Aparium, Shabbat Shalom.
Soldier Jehoiakim.
Okay.
It's me.
It's me. You know what it is.
Back in the building.
It's me.
You know what it is.
All praises to the Most High in Christ for another blessed Sabbath. All right. Those of us listening in on the radio broadcast, shalom. Those of us watching us on the Facebook Live, shalom as well. Like I had mentioned on the Facebook broadcast, you know, a little later than what we typically like to get started with, but there's always stuff that goes on in Israel, and, you know, sometimes things got to be dealt with. I'll talk a little bit more about jumping into the topic and stuff. Captain A, I gave you some feedback there. If you want to, while I post some links, just kind of speak here. We'll say this, if you want to get more knowledge, understanding, check out IsraelUnite.org, all right? All your information about keeping the laws, coming to repentance, more information about different classes and different topics, everything you can find on that website. Also, if you want to get your Israelite apparel, Bibles, gear, different things like that, go ahead and check out OriginalRoyalty.com, all right? I'm going to go ahead and post some links. If you can go ahead and take over for a minute there.
Yeah, man, so the topic's going to be heavy today, man, because there was a lot going on, but not too much that caught my attention. But Captain had to remind me about the Black Panther movie controversy. And it always brings me back to the Five Heartbeats when they did the album, and on the cover they had Beach Boy-looking dudes, Edomites, and they said, why can't we ever have anything, or why can't we get credit? And this movie, right out the bat, man. Now, the character is Black Panther, right? That's his name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So quickly, they've associated it with the Black Panther movement. Now, I haven't seen the movie yet. Maybe it has some undertones of that nature. But how come they don't refute Passion of the Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Samson, the Paul movie that's coming out, every single movie that had Moses, Christ. Why don't they refute that? And I say, why don't they refute that? Because show me a scripture that says that he looked the way they depict him, and that these men, Moses, Paul included, looked like the way they depict him. God forbid we were to go ahead and make an uproar over that.
Yes.
Right? Because let's face it, this is what we teach, right? In Israel United in Christ, we teach the Bible, and we show in the Bible, the good book, like Esau likes to call it, we show how we look. In fact, we show how all men and women in the beginning were people of color. So how in the heck can you depict everybody who's a superhero who does good is Caucasian. Every time we're depicted in a movie, we're the first ones to die.
Mm-hmm. You know why? Because the white man has a God complex. Remember that? Remember that song?
Yeah, that's right. I remember that, yeah.
The white man has a God complex.
Because it all boils down to the crafty council that we talk about every single time on this show. And when we teach in Israel United in Christ, it all boils down to the crafty council, the fact that we are the hidden ones. They must continue to perpetuate the lie that blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans are the bottom of the base, that we are quote-unquote minorities, when the scripture clearly says, Most High told Abraham, we will be innumerable number as the sand of the sea. Picture that. Imagery is everything. Picture the sand of the sea. Just picture a beach, which is the sand that's underneath the water in the sea, right?
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's just that the Most High controls it because everything has oracles. He doesn't allow it unless he's trying to bring some destruction with a tsunami or something. But just sit on a beach. It's the same sand that's in the ocean. Can you count that? That means we're innumerable, right? Yet they call us minorities. So this Black Panther movie is raising an uproar, which we're going to bring out.
And mind you, it's like it hasn't even been seen yet, and people are
bugging out. For real, man. Well, it was causing a ruckus even before it was even released, once they knew that it was going to happen. Okay? And it's funny because I was having a conversation not too long ago with an Edomite. And I asked, because, I like to be condescending, but in a nice way sometimes, right? Hey, so who do you think is the richest out of all the superheroes? Batman? Tony Stark?
Is your, superhero guy at work that watches
yeah,
the movies?
Yeah, Tony Stark's or Black Panther? Right, vehemently, emphatically, he had to say, whoa, I would say Black Panther. It was the Congo, and it was a king over there. And
oh, so he actually went with that, huh? He actually went with that. And he actually is. I mean, we know it's all fantasy, right? So some people are going to listen to this, right? Our scoffers, our fan club, our scorned women, right? Because that's what a lot of these people act like. And they're going to be like, it don't matter because that's like when we did this, the St. Nicholas thing and the Christ is Black with the Megyn Kelly.
Yeah,
a lot of comments were like, it don't matter because Santa Claus ain't real.
Right. Right.
No, it does matter.
No, it does matter.
It does matter.
You're perpetuating
right?
him.
Yeah, yeah. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more later. But it does matter. But the comic books say, I think, I don't know, Tony Stark might be worth billions.
Right. He's more than Batman.
Yeah. Right? Batman's worth billions. But Black Panther's worth trillions.
Yeah. Like he owns a nation, bro.
Batman and Tony don't
own nation. They own companies.
And because of the mines, the vibranium, all that stuff, the fake thing, whatever. Right. But let me tell you something. There's power in seeing that stuff. That's kind of where we're going to head towards, and the article talks about
that. That's the problem
that.
They have.
There's power. It's almost like, and you'll probably hear me refer to this a few times. Those of you who saw Django, of you who saw Django, and when Samuel Jackson's character was like, oh, what's that nigga doing on a horse?
Yeah, all man, right. Man, have that.
That's the same results of things like Black Panther.
You're right.
Talking about, he's the wealthiest, showing the power, the order, the structure. That's part of the description that I put. I said the power of imagery to our people, showing our people in a position of power. These are the things, the issues that they're having with a movie that they haven't seen yet.
Mm-hmm.
Showing our people in a position of power, wealth, and probably most important, order and structure.
Hey, it's shocking that Samuel Jackson felt that way, right? Right.
Well, his character was the Uncle Tom.
Right.
So.
But when the Edomites saw him on the horse,
right,
they were like, uh-oh, this dude here, he's woken up.
Yeah,
and that's the same thing with the Black Panther.
No. But the biggest, and you're right, this dude woke up. He's up on the horse. Their biggest issue is this is going to put hope and inspiration in the rest of them. Because if you see one nigga on a horse, then the rest of them are going to say, well, if he did it, maybe I can do it too.
That's
how you lose control.
Right. That's why they won't vocalize it. But when they see Jake, Israelites, Black, Hispanic, Native Americans that have made it, they get concerned. Because now their next thing is they're going to move in our neighborhood now.
Well, It's if they made it, but they made it in a way that they didn't have to trim their waist. Because you got a lot of our people that make it, right, so to speak, but they're just overpriced entertainers, right? But any of those that make it based on business, based it big on something like revolutionary or that's powerful to their people, that's what they don't like. They'll accept the actors. They'll accept the singers. They'll accept the ball players, right? Because you're entertainers,
exactly.
All right? They're just modern versions of the house Negro. They got a little more stuff, and they'll be like, no, 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 these ones are okay because they're going to look at us as the benefactor of this stuff because we're the ones that are paying them for that.
Good point.
But the issue with Black Panther is that they can't attribute their success to anybody because they own those stores. They own it. So what it symbolizes and what it represents is a disruption to the status quo. It's a disruption to where they want to be and what they've accomplished, because it is accomplished in the mindset where we believe that we're the Gentiles, where we believe that we're the basis. All right, we're gonna get into the biblical parallels, but everything that's being brought out is 110% correct. But we got to make sure that we dig deeper at that. It's the same reason they're okay with everybody making it in the kingdom, and I've said before, because they think everything's gonna be the same in the kingdom.
Yeah.
They see that Jesus is white. He looks like them. That, oh, this is going to be the power structure. So you're good, Negro, Hispanic. You can come into the
You can get in. Sure.
Because in their minds, they believe that the kingdom is going to be just like it is here.
Hey, call the number 516-531-9797. 516-531-9797.
Hey, while I got a chance, I definitely want to bring out the basing that they have done to our understanding. How, as long as we're, you know, entertainment or the bottom of the barrel, is perfectly fine, because even in the Willie Lynch letter, they say that you have to keep this implemented because the mind always try to revert back to its natural state. And when these type of images and these type of films give us an understanding that, you know what, maybe we're more than just Gentiles, or maybe I'm more than just 3/5 of a man.
That's really what it is.
Or maybe I'm just more than just, you know what, it's possible. You know what, I can do all things in Christ.
That's a great point, man.
But no, brother.
You're going to see, this brother that wrote this article, bro, is good. And I didn't even get to read the whole thing, so we'll see how much we get through today. I posted it on our main group at headquarters. I pray Bishop took a look at it, because I know he's going to see things in the spirit in that you know, is above my strength. Mm-hmm. And I would love for him to comment on that. So I wonder if he does. I'm waiting for him to post the links later. If he posts that, I'm going to be happy, because that means he's going to go in. You know, I know he's going to do the commentary after seeing the movie.
Right,
so I know that's going to happen. You know,
yeah, man,
but I want to bring this out real quick, because we spoke about those that think that they made it. Get Psalms 137.
Yeah, they can't. We can't have. They can't give us any hope.
Right.
When you have hope,
give them any.
Okay. Because just real quick, Cap, before Deacon Yahwasar brings this out, the movie The Ten Commandments, the Pharaoh's concern was, okay, if they believe
God, right,
meaning they have hope,
right,
then we got a problem.
Right,
what was
right.
it? If he's real, bring it to. If he's real, bring it to me in hand. If he's not, bring it to me in the vase or something like that.
Yeah,
man.
Go ahead. Start at verse one. Psalms 137, verse one.
This is the book of Psalms, chapter 137, and verse one. By the rivers of Babylon, where there we sat, yea, we wept, even when we remembered Zion.
Right. So you see this. He says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. We wept when we remembered Zion. This was before we forgot that we were from Zion, that we were Israelites.
Yep.
All right. This was the beginning of the mass captivity that happened here in America. All right. So remember, the scripture, it tells you that it has multiple meanings, and it applies. The scripture is enduring forever. So a lot of times you can't say at that time, all right? I'm not saying always, but a lot of times you can't say at that time. A lot of our fan club, their argument is, oh, at that time, or like with the curses, other people were under some of these curses. So that's their way to try to diminish the truth of what the scripture says.
That's the way to stop taking hope away from us.
Right. So you have to understand that in the Babylonian captivity, in the Greek captivity, in the Roman captivity,
Assyria.
All right, in Assyria, in all the different ones, this was like an eternal thing. We would sit down and we would yearn for our homeland, right? And we would so. But it's telling you about the rivers of Babylon, because we understand symbolically with the different understanding in the scripture, different classes that have come out All right. That Babylon today is symbolic of this place. The Israelites are still in captivity today. There's no, you know, that's the one thing that just they try to go toe to toe. Our detractors, right?
Mm-hmm.
To disprove what we're saying. But nobody can say, okay, so if what we're not saying is true, then where are the Israelites today? And you can pick apart their whole thing to say it's those imposters,
right,
in Israel, because they tell you that they're one tribe. They call themselves Jews, which means you're from the tribe of Judah.
Where are the rest of the tribes?
Where are the rest of the tribes then?
Show me historical fact that they just disappeared.
Show me.
Nobody ever can.
And why would
the burden of proof is on you?
And why would the Lord allow that? So what you're saying is that all the other 18 nations that the Lord created in the beginning, because their argument usually is, well, the tribes are dispersed amongst all the people that are here today. So basically, the 8 billion people that live on this earth are all the tribes of Israel.
That is ridiculous.
Right? But it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
Not biblically.
All right?
Not biblically.
Not biblically, it doesn't make sense. So they cannot prove that. So that's what I'm, remember, we went over the class show where I said why we can't explain this to people who it's not for.
Right.
So there's no use in doing that because they're not going to see it. You know, it's like trying to talk to a deaf person.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to hear you, right? And right, they're spiritually deaf. That's why Christ a lot of times said, "Them who have ears, let them hear." All right. But let me finish this. Go ahead.
Verse 2. We hang our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof.
Go ahead.
For there they that carried away captives required of us a song, and they that wasted us
what? In slavery, in captivity, mm-hmm, in making us forget, in Psalms 83 coming, mm-hmm, fulfilled, and making us the hidden ones. Mm-hmm. All right. So it's telling you, this is the point that I was trying to make. At one point we remembered and remembered Zion, and we wailed and we wept. But now we're at the point where we wail and weep, but we seek the acceptance of our captors. We seek the acknowledgement and the equality with them, not fully understanding that we're better than them.
They,
all right,
know,
and this is where this is going to lead back to when we talk about the movie. All right,
mm-hmm,
and what the issue is with what something like that represents. All right, go ahead, read on.
Wasted us, required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion.
Because that's the point with the ones that make it today. And they're under the mindset. That's why it's no different than the house Negro, all, mm-hmm, right, the Uncle Tom. They're under the mindset of, oh, I made it. I've arrived. And what it's telling you here is like, listen, this was prophetic. Hey, you're going to be used as entertainment. Because, bro, if you think about it, you look at most young men today, most, I'm not saying all, what is their only hope of getting out of the circumstances that they're in?
They could hit a three.
Right.
They could run past somebody.
Right. They could run. They could do the 40 in 4 seconds flat.
Yep.
Right. They could hit the three.
Got to get a scholarship football.
They could jump.
Contracts.
They could dunk.
Hey, what, right? And what they do?
They could sing. They could act.
Exactly.
Do a little dance.
Hey, how well can you sing the national anthem? How good
oh, they go.
That?
That's why they go all out, because they're like, yeah, man, it's gonna raise my stock, man.
Sing for us.
Singing the damn captain's song, bro.
That's it,
bro. So the scripture tells you that bro, don't be deceived by that stuff. All right, you can never arise above the status of your people. Those people that are in of our people that are in those industries represent the most minuscule margin. Before the show, we were talking about that we're innumerable, the number of the sand, mm-hmm, of the sea, like the stars. Bro, that's a handful. That's a fraction of a percentage, all right, compared to what the rest of the people in the condition that they're in.
You know, even when you sit back and you talk to the entertainers speaking for themselves, like your Chris Rocks and your Jay-Z's and people of these nature, they say, you know what, they're their only kind. There's only a handful of them. When they get to these neighborhoods, all the rest of the people are outside of their ethnicity, outside of their nation. So they stand up there looking around, and there's nobody else there that they can sit back and, you know, necessarily have any comfort, because everyone is comfortable around their own like. But when you're not around your like, you can't necessarily move the way that you would like.
Right, right. You were going to bring something out, Kat?
No. Okay.
All right. Yeah, you know, sometimes I got to be careful looking at these notifications that pop up. I'll be seeing things out of order. I'm not going to talk about it now, but just remind me, if you can remind me when the show is done, I need to address something that I saw that was out of order.
Yes, all right.
All right, so I want to jump into this a little bit and start to read this. This is an article on Time.com, all right, by Jamil Smith. So I'm assuming he's a brother with a name like Jamil, right? So it says the revolutionary power of Black Panther. Now, I get what he's saying. You know, you look at the revolutionary powers in the scriptures and repentance, but I'm not going to discredit what the brother's saying, all right, because this is pretty strong, all right? He says, Marvel's new movie marks a major milestone. So he says, the first movie I remember seeing in a theater had a black hero, Lando Calrissian, played by Billy Dee Williams.
Wow, that is so true. Yeah, right? I ain't got to lie. That was a shocker when he showed up.
About
in that
it,
movie,
bro,
man.
In that Star Wars universe, bro, that was heavy at
bro,
that time.
And was that second?
That was the second one, right? Yes,
yeah,
that was.
They were ahead of their time, man. Lucas was ahead of his time,
right,
bro.
So that was 1980.
Damn.
That was how many years after the civil rights, and it was still seen as a big deal. Because let me tell you, I'm a Star Wars fan, right? That's a white ass franchise, bro. You want to talk about putting heroes? Really, when you think about it, I mean, I know we say we like to. Some people say, "Oh, you like to claim everything," but it's the truth because we're the only ones that had any type of real power, bro. Like, you know, David's Mighty Men and stuff, bro. The Jedi is us, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that's right. You know, that's that spiritual power, right? So Billy Dee Williams, if you think about it, bro, in the context, that was a big deal, bro.
Had the Jerry curls,
right? Right. So it says. He didn't have any superpowers, but he ran his own city.
Hey, before that, he was doing malt liquor commercials.
He was, right?
I mean, you know, Mahogany, little B movies.
Right, right. But he ran his own city. So it wasn't about the superpowers. This is what I'm saying. Don't get it twisted. I mean, that's a big part of it, that all the superheroes are white and all that stuff like that. But he says the thing that really stood out to him was like, bro, this guy's not a Jedi, has no powers. But he ran his own city.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He says that movie, the 1980 Star Wars sequel, The Empire Strikes Back, introduced Calrissian, a complicated human being who still did the right thing. That's one reason I grew up knowing I could be the same. I got to stop there for a second. Mm-hmm. This is what we were talking about earlier.
Wow.
This is the power of these type of things.
Wow.
And this is what everybody's really in an uproar about. Mm-hmm. They want to make it about something else. And this guy actually saw the movie in an early screening. So he says that it's actually very powerful. Like, it really sends a positive message. Now, I got to see, because I take that with a grain of salt with people who are not repenting what the positive message is, right?
Right.
You know, it still looks like Black Panther from the trailers has, like, a white advisor, right? They always do that. Mm-hmm. Hey, like, so for example, I'm watching the new show on the CW, Black Lightning, right? I was always into comics as a kid, so I like the comic superhero shows and stuff. So they got Black Lightning out. And, you know, as it is with most of the ethnic superheroes, I'll say it that way, they're the more obscure superheroes that people don't know about, right? Like, there's one black superhero, I can't remember his name, if Deegan Adan was here, you remember, that's actually, like, more powerful than Superman in theory, if you look at it. I forgot his name, I gotta look it up. Like, he's badass, like, this dude is, like, ridiculous. And I don't understand why this guy doesn't have more notoriety. Like, his power set is, like, so much more interesting than Superman's and whatever. Well, I do understand why. Let me take that back. I do understand why it's not, right? And we know it's because of
the image.
Because of the image, right? But he says this is one of the reasons he grew up knowing that he could be the same, that he could be in a position of that authority. I remember what Will Smith had said when Obama got elected, that now I know my son could be anything, right?
He sure can,
right? Now, granted, we looked at it and mocked it at that time in the context of what it was, because that was just a way to bamboozle our people, because you were still setting your expectation. You could have told your son that anyway.
Right.
But only because in the construct of this society, you saw a man that looked like you get elected, right, as the world's leader. Mm-hmm. And that made you feel that way.
That made you believe.
Right. This is what's so important and what's so powerful about this scripture, right? And why people try to take it away and say that it's not our book, all right? So this guy grew up just from Lando Calrissian, all right, looking at that and saying, hey, there's power in that imagery. I can look at that thing and say, hey, I see my people. Why do you think, starting with Esau and all these other nations, they have so much pride in their nationality? All right. They can trace their history back. They can trace their genetics back. They can trace their history based on different conquests, different things going on. Mm-hmm. And they can look at that and say, what? Oh, damn. Look. Yeah. We had this dynasty and that, you know, the Moab and Ammon. They could say we had these samurai. We had these ninjas. We had this different time of that. Our people, it's very hard to look for those things if it's not in the scripture.
I guess he's so mad, man. They can't go live.
What do you mean? Who can't go live?
It's not letting me.
Oh, so what? We lost it? Or
it just keeps going. I hit play.
Let me check on mine.
Maybe we got to check the phone.
Yeah, check the phone. It looks like it's still. Oh, no, that's the beginning. Did it stop?
All right, now it's going.
No,
but
we're
I don't know.
We're still here. Yeah, we're still good.
No, but it was on my end. It was freezing up.
Okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
Hey.
Damn. Yeah, I hope that thing don't mess up. Let me see. No, it looks like it might have cut. Hey,
yeah, no, it did cut.
No, but I don't know if it's still on because it says, is it still going?
Oh,
no,
I can't continue live
view,
man. Something went wrong.
Oh, yeah, wow. It's about to load something else. 3, 2, 1.
How do I
get back in? Yep, it jumped to a video instead.
Heavy this topic.
Just go back live. Pop it up. All right. Apologize about that. I'll continue to speak here as I read the article. We had some technical difficulties on the video side. I got to upgrade some stuff. I got to get something dedicated for the live broadcast on that. So the article goes on to say, if you are reading this and you are white, seeing people who look like you in a mass media probably isn't something you think about often. Every day, the culture reflects not only you, but nearly infinite versions of you. Right? He's talking about Esau here. Right? This isn't our people. Every day, the world's culture, that status quo that I spoke about, all right? Every day, that culture reflects not only you, but nearly infinite versions of you. You're seen as executives, as poets, as garbage collectors, as soldiers, nurses, and so on. The world shows you that your possibilities are boundless. Now, after a brief respite, you again have a president, all right? So this goes back to what I was saying with the comment about Will Smith and that whole piece of it, okay? He's saying here, and, you know, I want to read this part. We're back live again. I want to read this part for the live viewers, all right, so that they don't miss that. He says, if you're reading this, and you are white, seeing people who look like you in a mass media probably isn't something you think about often. It's not a big deal to them because that's the norm,
right?
He says, every day the culture reflects not only you, but nearly infinite versions of you, all right? He says, the culture, this world, shows you white people as executives, as poets, as garbage collectors, soldiers, nurses. Hey, they show you as the last samurai.
That's right.
They show you playing... Historically, they show you as Egyptians. They show you even as Moab.
Yes.
So it's like, you know, so it's this thing where the world shows you that your possibilities are boundless, but not so for our people.
Right.
We're depicted and characterized and marginalized in a way of what we can only see.
Hey, even in the movie The Great Wall, the two heroes end up being Edomites. And that's about Moab and how they had to deal with them creatures.
Yes, that's how it goes.
But they had thousands and thousands of men, and they couldn't defeat it until these two Edomites came.
Are you out of your damn mind? Yeah, man, that's how it goes down, right?
It's predictable when you don't have a heritage. You have to cling on to everything else.
Right. So it says, those of us who are not white have considerably more trouble not only finding representation of ourselves in mass media and other arenas of public life, but also finding representation that indicates that our humanity is multifaceted. Meaning what? You only see us in stereotypical roles. You only see us as being able to escape, right, poverty and the situations that our people are in by what? Shooting the 3, running the 40, right, in 4 seconds flat, right? We only see ourselves being able to escape by those things. We can't see that we can necessarily – and I'm saying as a people because there are individuals that are executives and other stuff like that, right?
Let's think about this for a moment there. Let's look at sports. And don't get me wrong, I appreciate sports. I played a lot of sports. Okay. When you look at it, they don't mind that because the best of the best pretty much play. And we know as a majority, it's Israelites, right? Let's take boxing, for example. Let's take any sport, but let's take boxing, for example, and football. They're okay with us being good because in a lot of those sports – we're going against each other.
Yeah, you're right about that.
So you take boxing, we're beating the crap out of your own brother when you think about it. And I'm a boxer. I love boxing, man. I love to fight. I love to see a fight. I love that. But think about that. They're okay with that because even though they'll give us the money, It reminds you in slavery, because what did they do? In Django, they showed it. They put the two Judah brothers to fight against each other, and they were sitting there.
Mandingo.
So they okay with that. Mandingo, the same thing, bro. So brothers and sisters, especially you brothers, man, that are into sports, because sisters too, but not as the violent, you know, sports, for example, you better be mindful of that, man. When you're tackling somebody, you go out to kill them, bro. You want to disable them, right?
Right.
So what is it doing? It's keeping division. Sports keeps division amongst each other.
Emulation.
Okay?
Variance.
Oh, I'm going to get him. What? All the trash talking before a boxing match or an MMA, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have hate.
Mm-hmm.
You actually build a hate for your brother before you actually compete in that game.
Right, right. And, you know, just like we read in Psalms 137, that's the other thing why they're okay with that, because it's just entertainment to them.
Yeah.
So it don't matter. They understand that that's not going to put us in a mind frame of what we just read where, oh, that's okay, because that's not multifaceted. We're not showing them that they can be this, that, and the other, right? So it says, those of us who are not considerably more troubled, not only finding representations of ourselves in mass media and other arenas of public life, but also finding representation that indicates that our humanity is multifaceted. Relating to characters on screen is necessary, not merely for us to feel seen and understood, but also for others who need to see and understand us. When it doesn't happen, we are all poorer for it. So he's being a little tactful in his words here. He says, this is one of the many reasons Black Panther is significant. What seems like just another entry in an endless parade of superhero movies is actually something much bigger. It hasn't even hit theaters yet, and its cultural footprint is already enormous. It's a movie about what it means to be Black in both America and Africa, and more broadly in the world. Mm-hmm. Rather than dodge complicated themes about race and identity, the film grapples head-on with the issues affecting modern-day Black life. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see it just based on seeing our people there.
Mm-hmm.
But now that he's saying that this is what it doesn't shy away from that it actually touches on this. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'm glad that it's coming out so boldly. It says, it is also incredibly entertaining, filled with timely comedy, sharply choreographed action, and gorgeously lit people of all colors. So, of course, you know, right?
So, I mean, we're speckled, bro.
Right. So he says, you have superhero films that are gritty dramas or action comedies, director Ryan Coogler tells Time. But this movie, he says, tackles another important genre, superhero films that deal with issues of being of African descent. Now, I get what they're saying when they say African descent. I don't really get that mad about that, because they're ignorant to what their real descent is, right? But I get what they're clinging on to, because that's all that the world has allowed them to put as a reference point is that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I get what he's saying, right? It's what he's really saying when he says it's a superhero film that deals with the issues of being African descent. Take the whole connotation of that we're not African out of there. He's saying that he's addressing the issues that face our people, all right, the issues of race. It says, Black Panther is the 18th movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, a franchise that has made $13.5 billion at the global box office over the past 10 years. Marvel's owned by Disney.
Yeah, $1.3 billion a year, bro.
It may be the first mega-budget movie, not just about superheroes, but about anyone, to have an African-American director and a predominantly Black cast. Hollywood has never produced a blockbuster this splendidly Black.
Just has to show you the power of the Most High that he even allowed this to even happen. Remember, before it was just a thought. People were like, nah, that ain't going to happen.
Right.
Because the reason why I say that is because it just said it was African-American so-called director.
Right.
So, you know, you got to present that stuff to the powers that be,
right,
the five families, if you will, in Hollywood, right?
right?
And they actually ordained this because the Most High allowed them to, man.
That's exactly what it is. That goes into, like, when the scripture talks about how Pharaoh had his heart hardened, right?
Yes.
Let me check this out real quick. Let me see which one I want about that. So you can understand that sometimes the Lord allows certain things to happen, all right?
That's in Exodus.
Right. Let's get the one in Exodus, but there's another one.
In the New Testament?
I want to see Romans 9. Romans 9. I'm trying to see if
you
if
want
I
that
want to
one?
Go there. No, hold on. No, okay. Get the one in Exodus, because that's good, so you can make that. Even for the same purpose I raised it, that I might show my palm, leave that my name, I did it. Therefore, I want to see if it says. Yeah, no, you know what? I'll get that one in a second. Let's go to the one in Exodus where it starts with the curses.
Yeah, he mentions it multiple times.
Right, right. And he hardened his heart, right? So we can jump to any of them. Let's see.
Hold on a
second. Okay. Let's do Exodus 7 and 8 because that one's short. 8 and 13.
Eight.
Yeah.
Can you squeeze in?
It's still going, right? It looks like it's still going to mine. Yeah, but that clip messed us up. It's like one person watching, and I think it's you.
All right, 7 and 8?
Yeah, read Exodus 7 and 8.
Okay, Exodus chapter 7, verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. Verse 10. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod.
So they were able to with the, because you know, magic and little things like that, there is some power in that. It's evil. We shouldn't be messing with it. Mm-hmm. So the sorcerers were able to match that display with the rod, right? But then it says, but Aaron's rod ate their sister. So Aaron had one rod. He says the rest of them,
they didn't even eat. They swallowed it up.
Yeah. Right. So that one serpent swallowed up the rest. So you'd see something like that, right? And you would be like, now I started with the smallest one, and I'm just going to repeat that it happens with the same one, with the bigger ones, with the bigger plagues as they go on. So you would think that as a ruler, right, that would make you say, oh, snap. All right, there's power here that's better than any power that I have, right? Mm-hmm. But read what happens.
Verse 13. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said.
And what you read when you read the plagues over and over and over again is that he hardened Pharaoh's heart. Every time something happened, Pharaoh would waver, right? Like any normal man, and he would say, well, okay, I think I'm going to let them go. I can't believe all this stuff I just saw. But it says, no, he hardened. The Lord hardened his heart. Right. And then that goes back to the part in Romans 9. So get Romans 9, 17. Oh,
it's about to get real. It looks like something went down in camp today.
This is the book of Romans.
Oh, yeah.
The book of Romans, chapter 9, verse 17. For the scripture say unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth.
Right. So he's telling you, this is why he raised up Pharaoh, because every time that he hardened his heart, what he's saying is what he did was what? To try to make an example to show you. Mm-hmm. So going back to what the point was and why we went there is that as we're reading the article, okay, it shows that what Captain Aparim said was true. The Lord allows certain things to happen, all right, and certain things to creep through just sometimes so that a little knowledge seeps out, okay? To make sure that something pops off there. So, yeah, I saw what you said. I see what you're saying there about the camp thing. So it says, the movie, out February 16th, comes as the entertainment industry is wrestling with its toxic treatment of women and persons of color. This rapidly expanding reckoning, one that reflects the importance of representation in our culture, is long overdue. Black Panther is poised to prove to Hollywood that African-American narratives have the power to generate profits from all audiences, and more important, that making movies about black lives is part of showing that they matter, right? So, you know, a lot of people ain't going to like that thing, you know, because they all against the whole Black Lives Matter moniker. And like I said, we've Bishop's gone over that. We know that whole thing is a propaganda movement.
Yeah, led by Edomite.
But the message at its core is not off. Like, them as a group, you know, we're not on really board with. But the message itself does make sense, right?
Well, we're not on board because they're not using the Holy Bible.
Well, that's the main reason, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, and we know that Soros is behind that.
And Soros is behind all of that,
right?
Sure.
So it says, the invitation to the Black Panther premiere read, royal attire requested. Yet no one showed up to the Dolby Theater on Hollywood Boulevard on January 29th looking like an extra from a British costume drama. Meaning, they didn't dress European, all right? He says, on display instead were crowns of a different sort, ascending head wraps made of various African fabrics. Oscar Lupita Nyong'o wore her natural hair tightly wrapped above a resplendent bejeweled purple gown.
Notice the purple, right?
Purple, huh?
The royalty of purple. Mm-hmm. Men, including star Chadwick Boseman and Coogler, wore Afrocentric patterns and clothing, dashikis and boobos. Co-star Daniel Kaluuya, an Oscar nominee for his star turn in Get Out, are wearing a kanzu, the formal tunic of his Ugandan ancestry. Now imagine, with proper understanding, them showing up in Israelite attire.
I was thinking the same thing.
Right? So I don't want to take away. I like what they did, but it's missing this.
Yeah,
they said, I'm not going to show up in a tux.
With fringes?
Right.
None of those outfits have fringes.
Nobody said, I'm showing up in a tux. I'm showing up in a top hat.
Right.
Good.
I get that.
But it's still not your identity.
Yeah, man, you're missing it. You missed it, man. You missed the J.
You missed the mark a little bit.
You missed the J,
you missed
bro.
The mark a little bit.
You had the final shot.
You showed up in the African garb and not the Israelite. But can you imagine? They show up in one of the bad garments. With
formal night
for like the with, formal night fringes
with Rome, Revelation.
Boy, man, I know you. I tell you that.
With gold, right?
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's like how you see us with some of the Passover garments. Some years, you know,
definitely.
Some of them things look incredible.
Runway,
everybody looking kind of
runway,
bro.
Runway.
So you know, it's like the zeal is there, right? But not according to knowledge, like the scripture says.
Well,
okay?
that's just them putting on their flesh. They haven't necessarily got the breath of life yet.
Oh, no.
And that's what we're here to do.
By far, because if they had the breath of life, I guarantee you, most of them didn't have beards.
I'm pretty sure. A couple of them showed up with Edomites on their arm, too.
Well,
so,
you know.
Give me Romans 10 and 2.
Right. Yep. Calling numbers 516-531-9797, 516-531-9797.
This is the book of Romans, chapter 10, and verse 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God.
Hey, our people have a zeal of God.
They sure
all right,
do.
Those of us who are in a Gentile state of mind, all right, they do have a zeal of God.
They cried, put the hand up.
Yeah, bro, you see the difference when our people pray. I mean, they think they're praising the Lord, but when our people praise versus other people, right?
Yeah.
So there's
yeah.
definitely a zeal of God, but here's the problem.
Oh, yeah.
But not according to knowledge.
This is where they miss knocking it out the park here.
Yeah,
all right.
Struck
these,
out.
These people showed up and they said, good. I like the reference that he made. He said they didn't show up like extras from a British costume drama, right? Showing you that whole thing with tuxes and suits or whatever, that's a European custom and that the whole world has accepted as a standard.
Very
right?
true. Very true.
Okay.
Very true.
But he says they showed up with African regala. So, but I think it's beautiful that they made the statement.
Sure. Get him an E for effort.
It just falls short, but it's not according to knowledge. Statement would have been shown to Israelite guard. So it says Obama, perhaps none of them feel hungry. Well, of course, and they followed him. You can get a post if you really wanted to. Let's say you bought politics and what it was really about, right? Like, you know, we understand that that's a religion, that that's another form of control, all right? That's a tool that they use to control the masses, especially our people, right? So let's say you did fall for that. The right way to continue things on would be to get somebody that was more with Obama's views, okay? But instead, you couldn't get somebody that was more opposite than anything he's done and his views on anything that Obama has done. Part white nativist movement, the very existence of black feels like resistance. So he's saying, with the temperature of things in country right now, all right, with all the stuff reported on multiple shows, he says, with the way things are, he goes, this feels okay, like resistance by having a movie like this and the man that is. Challenge to that's the Eastern that we use institutional when it's at a level, all right, where the presumption the thing is already, you have people that walk around and they say they're not racist, but the minute they see you walk through the door and you don't like them, their opinions in their head already about you.
That's what prejudice means. You're
right.
Prejudging,
right?
You've already made an assessment in your mind that this dude is. I've known to be a crook, a criminal, shady.
Yes. Bro, I'm telling you, it's BS when you hear somebody say, I don't know, I'm not prejudiced. I look at all people equal.
No, you don't. Everybody prejudges.
And if anything, you're even worse if you look at me understanding what we've gone through as a people and you don't acknowledge that. So it feeds into that you're trying to ignore it. And it's actually just as degrading. I'd rather you prejudge me.
And guess what?
Then say I don't see that.
Exactly.
Because then what that means is that you don't see the history of our plight and what we continue to go through to this day.
So if de Blasio's son were to walk into someone's home do some type of service in the house, I guarantee you, if you didn't know that was de Blasio's son, you would be prejudging.
Right. Right. I'm sorry. I gotta stop looking at these notices because I'm seeing a lot of out of order, bro.
I can't see anything. I just asked if anybody can see us live. Did you see
No, yeah, not that. I'm talking about something else. No, I don't know. I'm gonna check it now really quick. But
check
I'm seeing
quick,
another
I don't know
just,
this is
let me stop doing that. Just remind me. No, it says that we're live.
I got you.
Just remind me that I gotta address some stuff when we're done. All right. So it says its themes challenge institutional bias. Its characters take unsubtle digs at oppressors. So meaning that he's saying it's unsubtle. So that means the characters in the movie actually make some commentary.
Well, pretty blatant.
That's pretty blatant, right. Exactly. All right. And its narrative includes prismatic perspectives on black life and tradition. The fact that Black Panther is excellent only helps.
Hmm.
Back when the film was announced in 2014, nobody knew that it would be released into the fraught climate of President Trump's America. Black future seems more difficult to see.
Wow. That's not by accident, man. It's not by accident, and it's by the Most High. Hey, trust
I'm
going
to tell you something. At the end of the day, what's most important to these heathen is money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that's what makes the world go round for them. Mm-hmm. Okay. What he's really telling you here is that if this thing was set up so that it was going to be like started, like the concept and everything before the climate that is today, it would have never made it. It was already in motion. And if it came out in 2014, then that means that there was already money, filming, time invested. And they were like, nah, we got it. We got to go with it.
Right.
That's why they didn't pull it from the slate. That's why they didn't pull it to the slate. You know. Go ahead. Are you looking at the group me? Is that why we're getting silence? Yeah.
Because I'm trying to find out what you're talking about. Because it sounds like it's not good.
No. Well, it has nothing to do with that. It's on Facebook that I'm seeing it. But I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
Now, but
gotcha.
We'll
okay.
So it's telling you that the without really saying it, you got to look at it that way. Because we were just talking about, it's amazing that they would let a movie like that be released, right? Mm-hmm. If it's really going to have that impact. Well, yeah, you see the videos of the kids all dancing in the classroom because they knew they were going to go see the flick, right? But I've been looking
my
at the comment
been
board.
Me, can bro, we go
I've
see.
Been looking at the comment board, seeing people talk about, oh, well, it's only breaking records on pre-ticket sales because celebrities are buying out theaters for kids to go see it. Well, you're damn right. It's a casual thing for you, and
so,
it doesn't matter to you because your people, there's a word called ubiquitous, which means everywhere, right? Your people, this is what the writer said in the article earlier. It's not a big deal to you that something like this is happening because the culture, the world is saturated with images of you in every facet of life. You're everything. To the point where you're even other nations. You're Egyptians. Mm-hmm. You're so-called Asians. Mm-hmm. All right. You're everything.
Hey, Paul Mooney said they're going to come out with a movie called The Last Negro on Earth, paid by Tom Cruise.
Paid by Tom Cruise. Exactly. Exactly. Bro, don't be surprised, man. Don't be surprised you see some stuff like that. So he says, back when the film was announced in 2014, nobody knew that it would be released into the fraught climate of President Trump America, where a thriving black future seems more difficult to see. Trump's reaction to the Charlottesville chaos last summer equated those protesting racism with violent neo-Nazis defending a statue honoring a Confederate general. Well, that's just as bad. I'm going to tell you something. That's a bad thing, right?
Yeah.
But it's just as bad as like Chappelle brought out subtly and everybody gets up in arms, right? Of trying to compare gay transgender confusion rights with the civil rights movement.
Right. That's an issue in and of itself. That's an oxymoron in and of itself.
Chappelle said it so powerfully, and he goes, I don't got a problem if that's what you want to do, right? Even though that's not the right thing either. Scripture tells you should abhor those things, okay, because that's sin. But he goes, it was easier for Caitlyn Jenner to change her gender than it was for Muhammad Ali to change his name.
Yeah.
That's more accepted than anything that has to do with our people and any type of acceptance. And us understanding the scripture, we don't really want acceptance. We understand that we're supposed to be a set apart people. But in general, the hypocrisy of trying to compare the LGBTQ, the alphabet movement, all right, to civil rights is preposterous. Okay, so he says, immigrants from Mexico, Central America, and predominantly Muslim countries are some of the president's most frequent scapegoats. So what does it mean to see this film, a vision of unmitigated black excellence, in a moment when the commander-in-chief reportedly in a recent meeting dismissed the 54 nations of Africa as shithole countries? Hey, I'm going to tell you something, and Captain Isaac made a good statement when I posted, he posted the video of the kids dancing because they were excited to go see it. He goes, bro, imagine if we had movies like Samson coming out and it was the real Samson that looks like us, right? Because you got a Samson movie coming out, and of course they got an Edomite playing him.
Cap, how about just depicting crisis?
Well, that's what he said. He said David, how about showing Christ of that? That's why there's such a problem with that image. There's no problem when you depict them as white. The issue comes, no, you cannot show these people who they are,
because their minds eventually is going to revert back to, you know what, I'm more than this.
Yes.
I have to be more than this. Yes. This doesn't make sense.
Yes. Hey, this is why, and I might read it again because it's one of my favorite scriptures in Wisdom of Solomon 5. This is what movies like that have that type of impact to bring out.
Cap, this is why it is so important and why they've hidden it for us in plain sight, I'm going to say, because it's in your Bible. The depiction of Christ is so important. I always say this. The most powerful man in the world is depicted every single way as looking as a Caucasian man. That is a problem.
Yeah, bro.
It starts with that. The most powerful man in the world is depicted as a Caucasian.
To the point where even fictitious men, such as Santa Claus, they have to be depicted as a so-called European.
It's hidden in plain sight, man.
Yeah, the image definitely holds its weight, and it's until our people can actually go into this Bible and actually put themselves in these places, we're going to continuously have these confusion of faces while we're holding up.
Because that's what that is. That's Daniel 9:7.
Yes,
read
sir.
That. Yeah, man. I'm telling you, the disciples, men that did miracles and cured, are always depicted as British. They always have the British accents, as British Caucasians.
Right, right, exactly.
This is the book of Daniel, chapter 9, and verse 7. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee.
God is the one that determines and says what's righteous or not. It's not for us to define what good and evil is. God knows what that is. Go ahead.
But unto us, confusion of faces.
He says, but unto us, we have confusion of faces. Meaning what? If it's not God telling you who you are and what you want, what you're supposed to do, and it's the world, it's confusion. And that's why we have confusion of faces. We never professed to be from Africa.
Nope. That was given unto us.
They told us that.
Yep. You know, as an example of that, I spoke to a brother the other day. He's from my brother, but he looked Judah. I said, yeah, you know, I'm Puerto Rican, but I'm also... Everybody's not satisfied. They always got to throw other things in there. That's confusion of faces.
No, and usually it's an Edomite nation that they throw into the mix. Yeah. But yeah, I'm this, but I'm also that. We never said that we were Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, Dominicans. They called us those things.
The craziest part is, even amongst the brothers, I was talking to an Issachar brother, and he was sitting up there saying how there's different complexions of even their own tribe.
Sure.
That tribe
Hell
in and
yeah.
of itself. And he looked at it, and he was like, yeah, well, that's because of what the Europeans did to us when they colonized us.
Yeah.
What makes it any different than what they did to the so-called Southern Kingdom? It's the same difference.
It's the same thing. Judah and Israel in captivity together.
Look, that's exactly why we had this confusion of faces, because we could sit back and look at each other and go through the same thing, but we're sitting up there saying, oh, no.
Well, and the most important thing, too, because what they try to do as a counterpoint to us is that we try to make things about color. It's not about color. Oh, we understand
color
that our people are a speckled bird. Yeah. It's about your spirit bearing witness, all right, with the spirit of the scriptures that we are the sons of God. That's what it's about.
Yeah, it puts them in a safe place if they say, oh, well, y'all teaching it's about color.
It
no, it's not, because
place.
Obviously not.
Right, right. Obviously not. Exactly. Right, read on.
But unto us, confusion of faces, as at this day.
Meaning, till this day, we still don't know who we are as a people, those of us who are still asleep. Go ahead.
To the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel.
That we were just saying. So it's not just, so-called African-Americans. It says to the men of Judah, which is the southern kingdom, all right, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel. So all you northern tribes as well, you so-called Hispanics and natives. Go ahead.
That are near and that are far off.
The scattered and the ones that we know that they're in certain land masses, right? So, you know, Colombians, you go to Colombia, you're going to find a lot of Colombians. But guess what? There's Israelites that are of so-called Hispanic origin, all right, that live in parts of Europe, that might live in Australia, wherever it might
Japan.
Be. Go ahead. You're right, exactly. Go ahead.
Through all the countries, whether they have driven them.
Because understanding the history and the scriptures, you understand the Lord said we would go out one way against the enemy and flee seven ways before him. Mm-hmm. And we would be scattered into all the corners of the earth. Go ahead.
Because of their trespasses, that they have trespassed against
them. And it all goes back to sin, right? So at the end of the day, listen, I'm not going to harp on, because this is some good stuff that I don't want to rain on the parade of the power of the imagery that's going to come out. I'm going to take it for what it is, the power that it was allowed to come out, that comment that he made about, yo, in 2014, you couldn't imagine a movie like this coming out. That's why, because in 2014, they had already started production. And this is what I'm saying. It really came out to an issue of dollars, but at the end of the day, we know it was an issue of the Lord.
That's right.
And it was the Lord that allowed it to come out. That was just the method that he used to do it, right? So it says, so as is typical of the climates we're in, actually, no, there was another scripture I wanted to give me Hosea 3 and 4, okay, all right? Hosea. Because you got to understand that why would the scripture talk about us being without images? Why is that of note? Why is that a worthy thing, okay, to be noted in the scripture? Hosea 3, let me make sure. I know 4 is the point. I want to make sure.
Right. That's good.
There's nothing else that from that, all right?
Now you're right.
Yeah, go ahead. So, yeah, start there.
This is the book of Hosea, chapter 3 and verse 4. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim.
Why was that significant to mention that we would be without these things? That's showing you that the real people of Israel would not have a control. It was beautifully with Daniel 9 and the confusion races until we are in the condition that we're in. I'm back on.
Are you back on?
No,
okay.
Let me finish 5. Right. I don't want to lose
I thought
time.
You were done. That's why.
No. All right.
Hosea chapter 3 and verse 5. Afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God.
Right, so we're going to repent and we're going to seek after God in truth, in sincerity, by keeping his commandments as Israelites. Go ahead.
And David, their king, and shall fear the Lord in goodness in the latter days.
In the latter days, right? So it's telling you in this time, and David, our king, is going into the lineage of Christ's lineage, meaning what? That we would seek the true Christ and the proper image of that, right?
That's right.
And right, and repent and keep his commandments, all right? Again, imagery. Why would the scripture need to mention something? This, all right, it's important. This goes back to the now again Ecclesiastes, so you can see imagery, right? We talk about Django, we talk about that whole thing, with the image of the man on the horse.
You want to show
right?
No, so that's 10.
I get it. Yeah, this is the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10 and verse 7. I have seen servants.
Wait,
of,
hold on. First, start with 5.
Yeah,
that's
to.
What I want.
Okay. To. Yeah,
verse 5. There's an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceeded from the ruler.
So Solomon is saying in the spirit, there's an evil which I have seen. That means this is something that's not right. It's an error which proceeded from the ruler. All right. I'm having a vision of something that don't look right. It's out of course.
Yeah, man.
All right.
That's deep, man.
Right. Go ahead.
Folly is set in great dignity.
Folly is set in great dignity. All right. This was a future prophecy that he's saying about. So something foolish, something that was ever reputed as nothing, like the scripture says, is set
it's
in great dignity.
It's being dignified.
It's being
shown
dignified.
As royalty.
Right, right. That's like taking a piece of crap and,
right.
and putting a crown on it and
putting gold.
And gold.
Holding it.
Yes, right? Yep. Go ahead.
Where are we at? Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich is sitting low.
Wait a second. It sounds
rich,
confusing
rich,
now.
The
it
rich
says the, but folly set, the rich don't sit in a low place. So this can't be talking about people that are materially rich. What is this going into? Go ahead.
I have seen servants upon horses.
I've seen servants upon horses. Go ahead.
And princes walking as servants upon the earth.
This is going into, this is, see, so the same way the coon in Django was upset when he saw what in his mind was a servant on a horse, Solomon saw Esau and the other nations, chiefly Esau, the so-called white man who the world ignorantly calls white or Caucasian, sitting in a place. The horse represents power. It represents dignity. And he says, but I see those that are royal sitting in a low place. Listen, it doesn't take rocket science to look at that and say, who are the base? Who are the ones that sit in the low places and what's set up in dignity?
It doesn't take rocket science to know that Quentin Tarantino knew this scripture because it was a significant part of the movie.
Right, right.
A Caucasian man, Quentin Tarantino, knew this. The Museum of Natural History on Central Park West knew that this is in the Bible.
Right.
And they put it. I always say, y'all probably remember me saying it, statues are, it's imagery. A picture's worth a thousand words. This is why everywhere you go in this country here, in Babylon the Great, America, where the Bible calls Babylon the Great, you see statues of who predominantly, if not everywhere, a Caucasian man that has supposedly made history.
Mm-hmm. If y'all don't mind, can I put one more scripture?
Of course,
for
brother. Go ahead.
This is the book of Job, chapter 9, and verse 24. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. Mm. He covereth the faces of the judges thereof.
Hey, that goes into where he says when he sees the rich sit in no place and princes walking as servants upon the earth, covering the faces of judges, the true judges of the earth.
That's right.
Which is supposed to be us, so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans. And we will be. Those of us who hold on in repentance until Christ returns, that's what the kingdom of heaven is.
That's right. You so-called blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans, and they repented. Y'all better repent, man. Yeah. Kingdom of heaven is at hand, man. Stop playing games, man.
That's what's revolutionary right there. That's what's revolutionary. Let me finish reading the article here. Did you want to bring out what you wanted in Ecclesiastes 7? Did you have something?
No. It was actually that 10 and 7. All right. I had a computer.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I always get it twisted. I usually think it's 10 and 7 or 7 and 10.
You good, Cap.
So it says, as it is typical of the climate we're in, Black Panther is already running into a share of trolls, including a Facebook group that sought unsuccessfully to flood the review aggregator Rotten Tomatoes with negative ratings of the film. Why? That's what, again, that's why images are so important, why everything that we just put out in the scriptures is so relevant and significant. What is the fear they have for a movie like this to be really? We know what it is, but they don't understand that in a bigger sense. Most of our people, they just, why?
Quick question. Rotten Tomatoes, I saw it at 100%. What does that mean? I don't know.
That means that so that's an aggregator site, right? So what it means is, so far of the critics who reviewed it, that's why you'll have tomato score and the user score and the user score.
Oh, user score. Right?
Right. The tomato score is the critics who have seen the movie and reviewed it. They've 100% of them been positive reviews. That means there hasn't been one negative review yet.
Okay, that's what I saw.
Right.
I saw that.
But then you have the user review, which that can be played with because it measures basically. So like if we go on there and we put 5-star reviews, it'll put that percentage up.
So that's the popcorn one. I'm just trying
that's
to.
That's the popcorn.
The tomato is the critics.
The critics
gave it 100%. I saw it on the tomato.
So far, right. All right,
well,
exactly.
That's good enough for me. I never even seen 100%. I was just.
Hey, Get Out was at 100 for a while, too. Yeah,
it's all right, but it was out there.
Yeah.
Because they saw the point.
Right, right. So it says, with negative ratings in the film, that Black Panther signifies a threat to some is unsurprising. It should be. It's a threat. That's how they see it.
It's unsurprising, he said?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
A fictional African king with the technological war power to destroy you, or worse, the wealth to buy your land. May not please someone who just wants to consume the latest Marvel chapter without deeper political consideration. They're like, I don't want that. I don't need to see it. No, they don't. You have to have data or inside. This is what you want to address. Like
volumes as to the power that this movie is bringing out. This is why, man. Get me that, man. Give me Proverbs 20:24, man. Okay. They let the Most High allow Trump to be a full year in presidency so that we can see what the Caucasian man, what this man is all about. And it's released right after. Look at it spiritually, brothers and sisters. Yeah, look at this.
Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 24. Men's goings are of the Lord.
Man's goings are of the Lord. Yes, this Bible is only for Israel, but other nations, everything. Mosai is the puppet master. He controls every single action. He allowed, Romans 13 is proof of that, the Caucasian man to be in rulership now because we did not want to heed to his commandments. Okay? Man's goings are of the Lord.
How can a man then understand his own way?
You ain't going to get the understanding on what's going down right now. Y'all don't realize that the Block Talk Radio Show 3-4 times already. The Facebook went down.
This is the mirror they don't want to see.
Okay? This is bro, the article that was written by this brother is proof that things are not right.
That's right.
They ain't liking this.
They don't like it.
They ain't liking this because not only, because again, going back to Eddie Murphy, he was a rich king, but he didn't do nothing for his people. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He ain't doing nothing for his people. This dude here is showing that we are something.
This is that ugly truth.
This is the truth, man. Bro, this is Flame of Resistance, Puerto Rico book that I bring out.
Yeah, it says
that the Spaniards, they tried to keep that buried. But it was just too loud, man. I'm paraphrasing, man. I've done classes on this, man. I've been meaning to do it again. I got to update the Northern Kingdom class with Puerto Rico, the Flame of Resistance. In the introduction, it talks about that. They tried to bury the truth. What truth? That we are God's chosen.
That's right. That's that flood.
This is the flood. The Most High is a mastermind, man. All praises to the Most High, man. Let's get the Most High hand, man. He caused an uproar in this, man.
Definitely.
He caused an uproar with one movie. Who would have thought that a movie from Marvel would bring such controversy? Who would have thought that? Not even Birth of a Nation, to my knowledge. I don't know they're that scared of this.
Never was it. No, because
okay. And you know why they were okay with that? Because they depict him as murderer.
Exactly.
They depict him as a murderer, so it's like, they know our people are simple. I don't want to shit nothing that time. Just like I brought on a radio show last week. Okay? How come it's Black History Month and they bring up half of our people? They bring up our brothers. And I'll end the fact of the Black Panthers, the Brown Berets, the Young Lords, that we were like, we're tired of this. The AIM movement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We're tired of this, man. Something ain't right. Now get Ecclesiastes 7:7. Okay? This is what was happening. And this is why we are feeling the way we do. Again, everything's spiritual. Don't get me wrong. I bring those groups up. And I've mentioned this in last week's class, man. Ain't nothing. Our warfare ain't carnal. You could best believe that, Esau. We ain't going that route. You ain't never going to get us going that route.
That's right. Because
the Most High got our back. Scripture says vengeance is of the Lord, okay? But you best believe we're going to push the Most High's word because like Jeremiah says, this is fire. And the fact that we Most High's allowing evil, we're capitalizing on this. So you cats out there that are watching us, man, capitalize on stuff that's going on in the news. Capitalize. Use your spiritual eyes, man. Wake up and use these things so as examples to wake our people up. Because the Most High's putting this out there because this is how he knows our people are loved. Marvel, superheroes, and stuff like that. This is our opportunity, you learn, brothers, to go out and use these things as catalysts to go ahead and wake your people up. Read that.
This is the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7 and verse 7. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart.
Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad. But remember, a gift destroyeth the heart. What's that gift? Oh, well, here's your contract to put out your next CD. I'm going to sign you up in this movie. You know, that's a gift that if you eat that up and don't do nothing for your people, you're destroying yourself and your nation. But like it says in Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning. Okay. Like it says in Isaiah 34. Okay. Get that, man. None of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. Whatever the Most High said in this Bible is going to happen to you Blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans who are the Israelites, who make up the 12 tribes. No, the 12 tribes are not lost. There's not only one tribe. Okay? Prove that. Why does it say at the end in Revelation, 12 gates with the names of the 12 tribes are going to be there? If you ain't in those tribes, you ain't getting in. Read that.
This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 34 and verse 16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read.
No, go ahead and get shotgun shotties and be violent.
Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read.
If you just open up this Bible, black man, a black woman, Hispanic man, Hispanic woman, Native American man, Native American woman, you're going to get the knowledge that you need to uplift your people and build this nation back. Go ahead.
No one of these shall fail.
No one of these are going to fail. Nothing. It's time. It's part that nothing is going to fail. We are capitalizing on it, which is why Blog Talk Radio is shutting us down, why Facebook shut us down a few times. It ain't happening. Okay? Go ahead.
For my mouth, it has commanded.
For the mouth, it has. This is what commands us, this Bible. No physical violence. Hell no. None of that has worked. That Black Lives Movement has died, come and gone. All that violence that was brought out, come and gone. But the Bible still stands.
In the spirit, it had gathered them.
And in the spirit, which is the Bible, this is what's going to gather us together as a people. Best believe. Go ahead, God.
Hey, get me Wisdom of Solomon 14, and let's start at 9. We'll start at 19. There's more to this, but I'm gonna. This is real heavy, but I'm gonna go through it. Yeah, I'm mad as hell, man. This is BS.
This is the book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 14 and verse 19. For he preadventure willing to please one in authority, force all his skills to make the resemblance of the best fashion.
So when you're reading up, this is really going into the fake image of Christ, all right? Caesar. But this also has meaning if you think about it in the way that, we're talking about the context of superheroes and different things like that and how they're all Esau, right? I'm not off when I'm saying this. Read the next verse.
And so the multitude of the Lord by the grace of the work.
Superman looks so majestic. The costume's bad. Everything looked good. These superheroes looking all mighty and strong, right? Go ahead.
Took him now for a god.
Because this is godlike stuff. Dealing specifically with Caesar, They're taking that majestic look, that Edomite look, and they're subscribing to that. But think about this in the context of what we're looking at, the imagery. All right, they take that image now for a burrito,
which was but honored as a man,
just the man, a little boy, by placing this faceted and seen in every role. All right, it gives power and put it us in power. You have little white kids. That's the thing that they fear the most. Little white kids are going to try to want to be Black Panther.
Oh yeah.
And
verse 1. This was an occasion to deceive the world.
These things are occasions to deceive the world, chiefly with the image of Caesar Borgia. This occasion was to deceive the world, which they did. And it continues on with things like this. Read on.
For men serving others calamities or tyrants and ascribed unto stones.
For men serving either calamity or tyranny, all right, did ascribe unto stones. Go ahead.
And stock the incommunicable name.
All right, because they're putting it in what? Idolatry. They take the image of Caesar, those crucifixes and things like that, all right? In the same thing, they're trying to tell you, listen, they're not playing around when they talk about godlike powers with these superheroes. They know what they're saying when they say these things. Read on.
Moreover, this was not enough for them.
But that's not enough for them, okay?
That they erred in the knowledge of God.
It's not enough for our oppressors that we as the Israelites err in the knowledge of God, all right? It didn't stop there for them. That's not enough. Go ahead.
But whereas they lived in the great war of ignorance.
This is a spiritual warfare, just like the captain was bringing out. You have to understand that this is war, all right? Not physically, not in us taking up arms physically, nope. Guns, knives, rioting, things like that. No, absolutely not. But the fierceness and the mindset that you need to understand it. Bro, this is why it gets me mad. You show up to the battle late. You show up to situations, brothers making excuses as to why they can't do or be somewhere or do something. This is a war, a spiritual one, albeit, to what? To try to erase the ignorance that are in the minds of our people.
That's a battle in and of itself.
That's a bigger battle than something physical. Physical would be easy.
Breaking down that
spiritual
mind.
Spiritual powers in high places,
yeah.
Principalities and powers. Bro, look, the platform that we're using now, getting attacked today for the first time in what? 7 months that we've been on the air. First time that we have some issues like this. Never. Even with the Facebook Live, never. We've had little things where maybe the sound don't come through or comes through the speaker, but to be cut off
multiple times
during salient points that are coming out.
Guess what?
That's BS. Understand,
that's a victory.
Understand that they want us to understand that we're living in a great war of ignorance. They are warring. You are a participant in a war that you don't even realize is a war. They do. You don't. Read on.
Those so great plagues called they peace.
The Lord calls those plagues, and you're calling them peace. You know, when the writer puts a comment like people of all colors beautiful, that's telling you that it's like a little light, a little daylight was shown, and then they closed the curtain.
He missed the J.
And then he missed the J. All right. Give me Wisdom of Solomon 5:1.
He had the winning shot.
Well, I love this. People who watch me and know me, they know I'll be bringing these scriptures out a lot because these things are just powerful. All right, go ahead.
Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5:1. Then shall the righteous man stand in great boldness before the faces of such as have afflicted him and made no account of his labor.
When Christ returns, see, this is the type of feeling that this imagery and these movies kind of bring into our people, all right? But this specifically, in that day when Christ returns, those who are deemed righteous, who make it, all right, who are not destroyed for their iniquities, he said, that righteous man, then will he stand in great boldness before the face of such as afflicted him. Because now some brothers have fear. They're not fully committed. They don't fully believe because they won't stand in great boldness against their oppressor to preach this thing.
They will on a computer.
They wait. Mm. Yeah, you got keyboard warriors, but they don't do that. But he said, in that day, we're going to stand in front of those that have afflicted us and made no account for our labors. What we're doing with these radio shows, what we're doing preaching on the street corners, handing out flyers, traveling, right? It's risking our lives when we do these things, all right? We don't see it that way on the surface. We don't have that spirit of fear. But if you think about it, if not for the Lord and his righteous angels, man, we could be taken down on some of these travels, right?
And we will.
You could be taken down standing on the corner. Boy, don't take nothing for somebody to pass by, driving by, and freaking pop some shots off if they really wanted to, all right? And there's crazies enough that are out there in the world to do it. And I'm not saying it may never happen. All that's in the Lord's hand. But the fact that it hasn't to this date, hey, that goes to show you the Lord is looking out. All right. Go ahead, read on.
Verse 2. When they shall see it, they shall be troubled with terrible fear and shall be amazed at the strangeness of his salvation.
When these other nations see that, they're going to be troubled with terrible fear. They're troubled with some fear now seeing these images that are coming out with this flick.
You see, we don't realize that. Esau's watching.
Yeah,
the nation, they absolutely are. Hey, okay. We just had one of our fans, Mark Reiser, over there at the camp spots. All right. Now he didn't approach us, but he wanted to use us from across the street as a backdrop for a video that he was doing, an interview with somebody. All right. So we have fans, so they do watch us, trying to peep into school over here. You don't think we know that he's been coming by trying to peep in? Oh, stalker, right? Freaking weirdo.
Yo,
bro, you ain't got nothing better to do. Well, how about go try to preach and say people? What are you doing over here?
This is like ghetto, bro. Like,
yeah.
Really, bro?
Yeah, bro. I'm telling you, weirdos. All right? Go ahead. And it says, and so far beyond all they look for, the strangeness of his salvation. Okay. It's going to be strange because it's like what Robert Kennedy said. Because those that were not in the know, which is the vast majority, right? They go, Christ is black. Oh, my God. Those angels are black. What the hell is this?
He got an afro.
Oh, snap. And it's just so far beyond all they had looked for because they were looking for Caesar Borgia. They were looking for that surfer dude Christ and freaking fruity angels with blush cheeks.
Hippie ass wearing.
Right.
Damn tablecloth.
Right.
Not looking bad.
Read on.
Verse 3. And they repenting and groaning for anguish of spirit shall say within themselves.
And then within themselves, with anguish of spirit, they're going to say what?
This was the he whom we sometimes.
Stop. Read it again because you got to read this right. Bro. You got to read this right.
And they repenting and groaning for anguish of spirit, shall say within themselves, this was he whom we had sometimes in derision.
Damn.
And in parable proverbs of reproach.
It says they're going to say in that day, oh my gosh, with anguish of spirit, no, this is he. Like in 1 Corinthians 9 says, the base things of this world, the low things, not many mighty. This is he whom we had in derision and a proverb of reproach. Deuteronomy 28:37 tells you, right? We're a proverb and a byword in all nations where the Lord. There's a derogatory term for us in every language under the sun.
Says they hiss at us.
Right? Yep. Go ahead. Read on.
We fools accounted his life. Madness.
In that day, they're going to say, why? Because they think we're mad, saying that, oh, they're the Israelites, they're the chosen, there's no way. The real issue is not that they're upset because we're trying to identify as Israel, but it's because who we are and what we represented in the world. How can those piece of crap, killing each other, low life, no good, lazy, Mondays,
welfare,
everything,
welfare,
whatever. How can they be the chosen of God? That thing is going to vex their spirit. We accounted his life madness. We said he was crazy. Go ahead.
And his end to be without honor.
We thought that his end was to be without honor. You look at the book of Nephi in the book of Mormon, and it says being black is a curse. All right. It says they accounted our end to be without honor. Let them animals kill themselves. Read.
How is he numbered among the children of God? And his lot is among the saints.
How? How? They're going to say, how did that happen? Because it was always meant to be that way.
That's
from right. You want to talk about Cap was bringing out the beginning from the end? That's the end result.
Yo, we're going to win regardless, brothers and
sisters.
It's
a fixed fight.
We're going to win regardless. Just stay in the fight. I know it ain't easy, man. All right, we all go through our trials and tribulations. Trust me. But you must stay in the fight. Right. Don't be getting out of this truth for some BS. For the love of money, for lust,
yeah,
for nonsense. I know it ain't easy, man. Trust me, man. I ain't gonna be the first one here to tell you, man, that it's easy. But the reward is great if you just endure to the end. Paul said he fought this big good fight. Okay, he prayed, he did enough, man. That's how you all gotta feel, man. Hang in this battle, cause the Most High got our back, man. We do it the right way, okay? Which is just preach the word. By the foolishness of preaching, it says
that's
in 1 Corinthians.
Yep.
Okay? Not many mighty. We ain't going to do this by force, man. We must come together, brothers, and teach this word. Sisters, continue to support your men. Movement in the way that the Bible says. All right? You're not going to get your glory until we get our glory. And we're going to get our glory as long as we follow the law, statutes, and commandments and teach Christ. And teach that the nation of Israel and treat salvation according to the Bible. Understand that. Recognize, man, we need all of y'all support. Don't let the devil take hold of you for foolishness. We know it ain't easy, but guess what? It's going to get better.
We know that. We know that repentance is revolutionary and not for the weak. Stand up. Stand up strong and boldly, all right, for your people. Did you have something you want to bring out real quick? We got like a minute left.
No. Just understand that the image, the reason why they're hiding these faces is because they understand who you truly are. They understand that who you are written in this Bible. All these things are written not just because you're just a darkie. You are the salt of the earth. That is the reason why they keep you in derision.
You said a darkie. Hey, so Lord's will, man, I know this show got chopped up. I still believe it was worthwhile. We repeated a lot of the stuff that we said as it was getting chopped off. I tried to monitor it, so I know how much was missed. It's not going to affect what happened, all right? Support us,
man.
Share the broadcast, check out the live broadcast. It's probably chopped up into a few pieces, all right? But spread this word, all right? And trust me, we didn't even nearly go as hard as I was planning to go. There was so much more left in the article.
You said it.
All right?
You said it may be the case.
You know, Lord's will, this is edifying for our people, all right? Sometimes there's different things that's going to trigger somebody to wake up, man. And Lord's will, this is something that might be a point to somebody, a soft spot that they're going to go ahead and repent, even if it's just one, all right? So spread this word. All right, so this is the Native Latin and Black Lord's History Show. Lord's will be on again next week.
All right,
let's see what's going on. We'll find a way. The truth always finds a way, all right? So say shalom.